Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, April 18th, 2016, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday to you people. You know, I'm wishing you a grand day and week ahead. I'm really glad to have you listening today. I truly, truly appreciate you. And you know what else I appreciate? I do, being here, sitting in front of an opportunity to talk to you once again, another day, another chance to embrace all the good and wonderful things that can be happening about life. And you know what I've learned, and I know I've said this to you often, but I'm going to say it again just because it's worth saying. It indeed helps to have a positive attitude. It really does. When, you know, it's just one of the better ways to start your day. And I don't think it's absolutely a cure-all for everything, but it does, you know, change things somewhat. It doesn't directly change things, but it can change how you feel about it and how you see it. It takes a little practice, you know, it does, but I tell you, it can be worth the effort. I promise it can help you maneuver your days and times a whole lot better. And I want to see you waking up to the world sparkling and shining. That's part of why I do what I do. And speaking of sparkling and shining, my guest today is a true starlet, shining her light on everything she does. She's the brilliant Kelsey Scott, whose works have graced the movie and television screens in your town and in your house and also the stage. You may have recently seen her in a heart-shaking role on How to Get Away with Murder. She was the wife of Solomon Northrup in 12 Years a Slave. She's been seen on The Young and Restless, Grey's Anatomy, True Detectives, Army Wives, NCIS. And I'm telling you, she truly is a woman who is a lot of fun. She's fascinating and she's fabulous. And let's not forget the 2004 movie thriller Motives, and Motives too. She wrote those. Yeah, she did. She's a bright one. I'm telling you, on the Hollywood scene, and I have the opportunity to talk with her today on Foxology Today. Welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you so much. What a great introduction.
Well,
how can I be anything but positive with all that?
It's the truth. I didn't make any of it up. It is the truth. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. I'm doing absolutely wonderfully. How about you?
Yeah, me too. Me too. You can tell I'm excited to talk to you. Yeah. We've got a lot to talk about, you know. As they say, you know, so much to talk about, so little time. So I think we probably better just dive right on into this conversation. You know, I titled the show, How to Get Away with Working in Hollywood. And you have just been, you know, you that's your home, and that's where you do what you do, and you've been one of the fortunate ones to make it work. You know, the life and career there for many people, we've always heard, you know, isn't always an easy glide, but you've enjoyed a successful journey. And so I want to talk about that. Let's just, you know, find out, when did you take that step in that direction? You know, it's one that so many are very timid about taking.
Well, you know, I started when I was young. I started as a child. I'm from Atlanta, and so I did a lot of local theater, and I was in a performing arts program in my high school, and so I was on stage fairly early. And then I was kind of in and out of the business on a professional level because I went to school and had my got my undergraduate degree from Florida A&M and my graduate degree from Florida State. So in between what was happening with school, I would go off into a theater production or work on something on television, or when I was a child, I did a sitcom. But in terms of committing to it as a full-time profession with not another gig to support me, I think that legitimately began about 2007, even though I have been in the business my entire life in one way or another. So that would be my foot down. This is what I'm going to do. Nobody else can lead me in another direction. Yeah.
Well, you know, Kelsey, a lot of people talk about that. And, you know, you hear these stories like, Taraji talked about how she only had a couple bucks in her pocket and a baby on her hip. And I recently read about another actor, I think it was Miguel Nunez, who talked about having $6 and three below just when he headed out there. And so, you know, those stories are inspiring on one hand, but on the other hand, you look and you think, well, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I don't know if I can jump off a cliff and land on my feet like that. So when you went out, you know, what was your story? I know you said, you know, you up until that time you were doing other things up, you know, to about almost 10 years ago, but was yours one of a faith leap?
I think it's always a faith leap. I think whether or not you have, you know, $2 in your pocket or 2,000, it's still, you know, it's still a very competitive industry. It is the least financially stable industry, I think. I think it's definitely in the top five. I don't know the other top four. I'm just assuming there's something else out there, but it's definitely a leap. It's a very subjective industry. You know, it's not like going into a job where it's facts and figures based. It's, you know, numbers, and 1 + 1 is always going to equal 2. It might be, you know, you have the talent and you don't have the look, or you have the look and not necessarily the theater pedigree, or there are any number of reasons why you could not work. So I think anyone who decides to commit themselves to this industry is taking a leap of faith. And so I was definitely doing the same thing. It was really kind of stepping away from a 9-to-5 where I could be guaranteed benefits and know that I had a retirement plan and insurance and all of that. And I knew that this is what I absolutely had to do, because, like I said, I did, even though I started out in the industry young, throughout the years, I have done other things, always somehow related to entertainment, but not necessarily acting. But I could not stay away from it. I just, I couldn't. I, not that I ever tried to, but it just kept calling me back in a way that eventually demanded my full attention. Like, I was just like, I know what I want to do. I know what makes me happy, and it's this.
Sure. And, you know, you just would have been absolutely miserable anywhere else. You know, you're following your calling.
I would have. Yeah, I would have, you know.
So what would you say to anybody who's listening that maybe fighting the fear factor but just really can't get over it, and maybe they do have what you mentioned might be at least two of the things you need, a look, the talent for sure, you know, the money might be missing. What would you say to a person who may be feeling like, I really want to, I'm sure that there's thousands of people who feel that way, but what would you say? Because it takes courage to do what you're talking about, because, you know, most people do need to feel like they're walking on steady ground, and a lot of folks put their desires on hold or just put them on the back shelf of life because they don't want to go through that experience of, you know, well, I tried but I didn't make it. But what would you say? Because when you follow your true calling, I always say people who are really working in their element, there's not a greater happiness. When you really find that space where you are designed to be, where you belong, the work that you love, the experience just doesn't parallel anything. That's what I would say to somebody that would be heading toward that, if that's what you believe is really your true calling. That's what I would say, because it is truly worth it.
I think all of that is true. And in terms of addressing those who are trying to get over that fear hump, it's interesting. I had a conversation just a couple of days ago with an executive, and she was talking about being in a position to help people in the industry. She was talking specifically about behind the scenes, but she said she would ask the question in the interview, what is it that you want to do, and how people would do a bit of hemming and hawing with the answer because they wanted to tailor the answer to what they thought she wanted to hear so that perhaps she could help them in a certain area. And she said, you know, it's so refreshing when I come across a person and I ask them, what do you want to do? And they have the answer. They just know. And here's what I say about people who are trying to overcome the fear. that fear is never going to go away. It's not going to go away when you're in it and you're working. It's definitely not going to go away when you're in it and the work is slow. It's just a part of this process. But if you need this, I don't mean it in an unhealthy way, but if you need this, there's not a fear in the world that will stop you from pursuing it. I don't think you have to, for those people whose passion is present and active for this industry, the thing is, what would you say to stop them? Not what would you say to make them go forward, because they're going to have to go forward. It's just, it's in your blood. Like I said, that's what it is for me. We're all capable of doing any number of things. But what is it that you can't not do? And if this is it, I couldn't stop you if I tried.
Well, you know, I think that probably covers every question that might be in anybody's mind. That's awesome. That's an awesome approach to it. And I think if a person honestly answers that, they're probably going to pack up after this conversation and head in that direction. That's awesome. It really is. Well, let's talk about some of the things that you have done since you took a major step in that direction. A lot of us, of course, remember the movies that you wrote. So let's talk about those. Let's remind people about Motives.
Okay. Motives was released in 2004, and then a couple of years later, we did Motives 2. And the original was with Shamar Moore and Vivica Fox and Sean Blakemore and Joe Torre and Mel Jackson, Victoria Rowell. It was a wonderful, wonderful cast. A thriller about a married man who has an affair, and then his mistress is murdered and he's accused of the crime. So that was actually my first professional screenwriting job. And everything kind of went forward from there. But that was an amazing project with a really, really great group of people, both in front of and behind the camera.
Yeah, you I think if I remember correctly, that was really a turning point for you to do that type of work. And you've been asked to do, you have some involvement in some other projects that they're utilizing those skills, don't you? Screenwriting skills?
We did the sequel a couple of years later, and as I said, that began the kind of professional side of my screenwriting career. So since then, I've written a number of scripts commissioned from producers and production companies, and I also do what's called a script coverage, where writers will give me their scripts and I'll give them professional feedback. And at some point, I actually even taught screenwriting at my graduate alma mater, Florida State. So I went back to teach on the graduate and undergraduate level. And go ahead, sir.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that I'm always so fascinated when it just spills out of you like that, when you're actually collaborating on projects like that. Do you just have this kind of a vision that goes along with what's pouring out of you? Because when you look at a movie, we just kind of looking from, you know, scene to scene and line to line, and we're connecting the dots real easy because it's there for us. But when you're actually doing the screenwriting, collaborating with others, what's that gift like going on inside of you?
Well, every process is different. You know, there will be projects where a producer will come to me and have a very kind of skeletal outline and say, these are the bones of what I want to make happen. Now, will you flesh this out and fill in all the blanks? And then sometimes a producer will come to you and they'll have a lot to say about the story, or it's based on another story, or I've also done book adaptations where you've got all of the information and now it's about making it visual, because books, the luxury of reading a book is that you can read what the character is thinking, but once you are preparing that for film, everything has to be able to be seen and heard by the audience. You don't get into the character's mind with the exception of like a voiceover. So the adaptation is about making all of that is not visual. And then sometimes it's your own idea. You know, certainly I have had, you know, original ideas that have been written in full form in terms of a screenplay, and that that's probably the most daunting because it's one, it's being inspired by something, and then it's just taking it from, oh, this would make a good movie, I believe, into, you know, fade in and fade out, which is a much longer process.
Right.
But so, yeah, and then the collaboration doesn't stop at the first or second draft. If you are lucky to work with production entities that allow you to be involved in the creative process beyond turning in the screenplay, then you can be on the set, and the actors are allowed to speak with you about what your intentions were as the writer. And sometimes you're even blessed to be able to be in the editing rooms. And I've worked with some really great people in the past that have allowed me to take my involvement past, you know, emailing them the final draft. And so that's, I love the collaboration process. Like I said, I was raised in the theater, and that's all my collaboration. We are taught from the beginning, you do not do this by yourself. Everybody has to take part in it. And film is the same type of structure. And so I love when I'm able to then translate that into one of the elements of film in terms of screenwriting. So collaboration
sure
has been a part of my life for a long time.
It sure is very, very fascinating, I'll tell you. Well, I want to ask you about where I saw you most recently, and boy, what a role that was on How to Get Away with Murder. My God, would you go ahead and just reflect on that storyline for us again?
Sure. My character is Rose Edmund, and she is, it's revealed in the series that she is Wes's mother, and you know, much of the series revolves around the relationship between Wes and Annalise, and his past has always kind of been a mystery. You know, they spoke very early on about how his mother died and whether or not he was involved, and so this season a lot of those questions are answered. And of course, in terms of how this show goes, a lot of questions were also raised, which will be answered in later episodes, later seasons. But we did get a look back at Wes's young life and kind of how he got to the point where he came into contact with Annalise and their very special bond. So it was, and when I auditioned for the role, they didn't tell us all of that.
of course not.
The secrecy of plot line is very important for a show like this. So when we got the original sides, they had changed the names, like in the sides, in the audition sides, I didn't even know I was speaking to Annalise in the scene where I'm, you know, running up with the baby. Like it was not her name that was listed in the script, and they changed the genders and they changed the situation slightly so they could audition you, but you wouldn't really know what's going on unless you finally got hired. I mean, I was excited, of course, just to be a part of the show, but then to find out that the character was so pivotal was very, very special to me. Yeah.
Well, you know, the way that the story ended, there is just so much room for more appearances you because the story, the bigger story really is left out for those of us who were watching, and we want to see that love affair. We want to see how, you know, we want to see how that
all that
whole
came
thing
to pass.
Yeah. And there's been so many. I'm no creative writer in that sense, but I sure can look and tell. Boy, there's more to this than meets the eye.
Well, they certainly left the door open, and you know, now is the time where they're formulating the story ideas and deciding what they're going to do with the arc of the third season. So we'll see. It is entirely possible that Rose will reappear.
Well, we sure hope for that. That's for sure. Well, that it was so exciting. I'll tell you that. We didn't exactly like how your part ended on the last scene, but fortunately it's TV and they can do anything they want to put you back in. So that's
right,
wonderful thing about it. So, but you know, I know outside of all of that, behind the scenes, you're doing some exciting things as well. There are some organizations that are close to your heart. I want to make sure that we talk about that. You are actively involved in an organization called Right Girl and also Kids in the Spotlight. So let's start with Right Girl. Tell us about that and what you do.
Okay. All right. Great. So Right Girl is an organization that essentially pairs women professional writers with at-risk teens, girls, to mentor them so that they can learn to express themselves in writing. And so they have workshops throughout the year, and it's everything from poetry to fiction to creative nonfiction to screenplays. And the mentors work with these young ladies for years. It's not kind of like, okay, we're going to work with you for 6 months and then, you know, and good luck and Godspeed. They form lasting relationships to help these young girls express their ideas creatively. And my involvement began last year, kind of at the end of each year, they have a program where the young ladies write short screenplays on a Saturday morning, and then that evening is a large event. It's one of their fundraising events, and so then they bring in professional actors to act out the screenplays. So we've got about 30 minutes with the scripts, and we're just meeting the fellow actors, and we sit together and we figure out some basic blocking. We read the scripts with each other, and then we present their work in front of an audience and in front of their writing mentors. And it's kind of the culmination each year for the young ladies. And so I participated last year. Unfortunately, I was out of town this year, so I could not go to the event, but trying to give as much promotion to it as possible, because one of the things that I was struck by last year was just the acumen that these young ladies had. Just their ability to express themselves was so poignant and powerful, and I was floored by the experience. It was so much fun, and the organization is so vital. This is their 15th year, so you know they definitely have their sea legs, and so I was very excited to be a part of it last year, and I hope to take a prominent role in the future in being a part of that organization. And the other organization that I love and have recently become affiliated with is called Kids in the Spotlight. And so Kids in the Spotlight, again, is based in California. That's where I'm based. And so they go to foster care facilities in California and train the young people to create and write and cast and direct their own short films, these 10-minute films. And so they get a chance, much like a Write Girl, to express themselves through something creative and to emote through other characters and to tell their stories and to share their creativity in that way. And in the same way, professionals come in and help them with the training and sometimes the casting, and sometimes professional actors appear in the actual productions. And then much like Write Girl, at the end of the year, they have their own kind of Oscar ceremony. It's movies by kids for kids, and they have a wonderful event where their films are showcased and they have awards, and it's heartening. I have obviously a very deep love for the arts. I think that we should bring music back into the school system. That's a whole other soapbox I won't get on in the moment, but I love when organizations help young people to discover the power of the arts. And so in particular, these two that I'm involved with, but I know there are any number of others, when they proactively show these young people how powerful it can be to use art as a medium, then I'm happy to get involved in any way that I can.
Yeah, and I'm excited to hear it too. As you were speaking, it kept coming to my mind how it is such a great opportunity that these smaller groups can focus on a particular area of their creativity that's often being lost now in the major school systems. And it's just really true. There's a massive amount of kids, and there are a lot of great educators, but for some of the things that I've found that kids are really wanting to do, there's often just not enough centralized focused on it. So when I hear this and other organizations who are realizing and understanding the same thing are helping kids really get tapped into where they really are feeling something and where they really belong, it's just amazing. And to see that you guys are really mapping it out. You're not just saying, well, let's like, get together for a class and write something, and, oh, that was fun. But you're really mapping
right.
out some potential for them and showing them and helping them to develop the confidence they would need going forward as well. That truly is exciting. And then to have a you know Oscar-type ceremony as well, boy,
mm-hmm.
that must be, they must
oh,
be really
great.
Thrilled.
And they're so excited, and, you know, they're the different companies volunteer services and such, so the kids get like limousine rides to the event, and then you know show up in red carpet worthy clothing and get you know the press is there, and it's just it's really really special. And that I'm talking about Kids in the Spotlight for that particular one, and it's just a really really special event for all of them.
Well, I'm not surprised. They've got somebody special really working hard with them and for them, and then I mean you. So that's
mm-hmm.
wonderful. Well, we're getting toward the end of the interview, and I just have a couple questions. One of them is, what's
okay.
up, and what's up now, and what's next?
you never know. Right now, I'm doing a lot of kind of passion projects right now. I just did a short film with some friends in Los Angeles called Love and Skateboarding, and I just joined the cast of this really really wonderful web series. It's in its second season called The Process. And I'm excited to be a part of that. I do have a film coming out later on this year called The Dark Red. And there's an indie film that we're just kind of in the funding stages of called The Commuter. It's an independent film that I think is really special. I can't give a lot of the plot away because when you talk about it, you kind of give away the twists and turns, and I don't want to mess it up for anybody. But keep your eye out for The Commuter because it's one of those ones that I feel like it will be one of those festival darlings. Oh, I didn't jinx it doing that, but it's a really really great script, and so that's what drew me to the project. And then of course you know that I'm a screenwriter, and so I have a couple of projects in development right now that I'm very excited about, a romantic comedy, and then what I would call, I guess the best way to describe it, would be a supernatural family drama. So,
wow.
I'm not sure if you're going to see that genre on Netflix, but, you know, look out for it.
Well, you're busy. I love it, and I love that you had a few minutes that you could sit down and talk with me and get us up to speed on all that was going on. I was so excited just to reach out to you when I saw you in that role on How to Get Away with Murder.
Glad to hear from you.
Well, I'm just glad that you took the time to do that. Thank you so very much for being my special guest today, and we'll look forward to staying on touch and in touch and making sure that we know when things are going on with you and getting it out on social media with the rest of the folks who appreciate you as well.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Anything you want to mention as far as media contacts or taking a look at your website, you want to mention those things real quick for me?
Sure, absolutely. You can find my website at www.kelseyscott.com, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ms. Kelsey Scott, that's MS Kelsey Scott, and you can find me on Facebook at Ms. Kelsey Scott or plain old Kelsey Scott. I'm around.
All right, lady. Listen, you keep being fabulous and fascinating and fun, and I'll look forward to checking in with you again down the road. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you all so much, too, for taking the time to tune in. Well, I'll tell you, now you know how to get away with working in Hollywood, if that's what you want to do. My guest has been Kelsey Scott, and she, I tell you, is really doing her thing. As I said earlier, she's a bright and shining and sparkling star. Appreciate her so much for being with me today. Why don't you tell your friends about Foxology today? Let them know that I'm here most every Monday with a show that's bringing positive people, positive things, positive thoughts right to your computer or wherever it is that you may be checking in with me. I appreciate you for it. So if you tell people about it, that would just be awesome. I'm on Facebook as Foxology and also as Silver Ray Fox, so you can check out either of those web pages and join in to keep up there. In the meantime, I'm wanting you to have the most amazing day. I look forward to checking in with you next time. In the meantime, be good, be blessed, be awesome.